Hi guys, and welcome to episode 17 of the Fully Geek Ladies podcast. It's me, T, with Paulina and Sharifa. As usual, we are giving you our reviews on our shows that we've watched for the week. So we've got our resident show, Love Country. I always say that, guys, Lovecraft Country. LCC. we're talking about Power episode 3, and we also watched Criminals season 2, which features on Netflix. We also got a little feature at the end of what's happening, where we'll take you through the little things that have been happening during this week. So Paulina, do you want to take it away, girlfriend?
Hi, it's me again. Welcome back to another episode, as Teresa said. So let's start with Lovecraft Country. So Lovecraft Country
episode six,
right?
Yeah.
For me, I really, really enjoyed it. Initially, I was zoning out because when I saw subtitles, I was really tired as it was. So I'm not doing it. But then as it like progressed, I was getting gripped and I was getting more into it. So I love how like the whole show in itself is like an escapism. It takes you away from reality because it's so left field in terms of what the director's got planned. Like, you don't know what's coming. The episode is completely different, which I really appreciate. And I really enjoyed that this was set in Korea, and I have no idea about Korean folklore, but it was really interesting to see this take on it, even though they didn't really go too much into it. And it was interesting to see what's the guy's name, the main character's name again, I keep forgetting.
Atticus.
It's interesting to see a different side of him to an extent, like more of his story, because he's just come from randomly, in my opinion, he's just come from nowhere. We don't know where he's come from in that sense. So now I think the pieces are coming together with the whole, I guess the woman on the phone is this lady, and the character name is Jamie Chung, but I forgot the name in the actual show.
Gia.
Yeah. So I think that's the lady that must be keep calling him, because he's so freaked out by who she is, but we'll get into that anyway. But yeah, so I just like how now some pieces are kind of coming together. So what did you guys think about it? Because I really enjoyed this.
It was good. I liked it as well. As you said, it was different. So it's kind of like giving us a backstory, a flashback. So we're kind of taking a break away from what's going on presently with Tick and his journey to finding the Book of Adam. And now it kind of gives us an understanding of where it kind of all started off for him. There's obviously something else that must have happened between that time, because you can't go from a sex tentacle woman to just automatically think, oh my gosh, magic happens. But there must have been a lot that's happened, and obviously his interactions with his uncle and his dad must have made him set on that that journey. Again, like Paulina, I think I really like that it was set in Korea. We got to see a bit more behind all the stories we know in real life, just a little, even though it's fiction, we just get to see it a bit more, and we get to see the whole communist thing, you know, obviously the pressures of a mom, and then we get the backstory of who this Jiha is. And I wasn't expecting it. I knew there was something to her. She has some involvement. I was not expecting it to be this whole sex
really
issue. I knew there's something to her, but I didn't have that link of,
oh, you didn't know, but it was due with sex.
Yeah, I didn't think it was due with sex. I didn't think it would do with souls. I thought she had some magical powers of some sort. I thought she was is it Oracle? Those that can see the future's oracles, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I thought she was probably an Oracle and kind of discovered who she was. So I didn't think it would be an Oracle through sex tentacles. But again, this is Lovecraft, so of course, anything is possible. I did not understand the mum one bit. I just did not understand why she was like that. But again, we get to see why. Yeah.
Can I just say, going off what you said, I wasn't understanding where she's saying that she came from somewhere into her daughter's body.
So basically what I got, what I got from it is that the stepdad, as we later on discovered, used to rape the daughter, the mum's child then. The mum went to a witch to probably try and erase the memory of what had happened to her with her dad, and ended up paying the price, because she said everything comes with a price, and that's why the mum got the whole demon in the child. That was the price, to get the demon in the child. So after it happened, that's when the witch told the mum that you have to get 100 souls before your daughter can become her normal self again, by getting people's memories.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
that's what I got from it. It was the whole memories thing. Taking 100 souls, 100 men's memories will bring back the daughter's memory. So that was the daughter's body. That is the daughter's body, but it's been overtaken by
this demon.
Demon, mm-hmm. Because from what I got was the mum was trying to erase the memory of that happening, but magic always comes with a price. That's what she said. I paid the ultimate price, which was her actual daughter was not in that body anymore. So that's what I got from it. And I think what may happen is that the mum's going to give up herself as a final soul.
They have to have sex for that to be the case.
I don't think so. I think that's why the mum came to plead with the witch, and I think she's going to give herself up as the final. So that's my thoughts anyway. I think that's what's going to happen. But I feel like we won't know till another episode in, where I feel like Jiha is going to make her way to America to just turn up and be like, hi, Tick. And then Tick's going to be standing there with Letitia on the other side. Letitia's going to be like, who the hell is?
Yeah, but I think she's gone, if that's the case, I think she's going to find him, because obviously she loves him.
Mm.
And because she knows he's going to die, so she's going to try and prevent that from happening.
That's why I said I think she's going to be there. And I don't think that thing is ever going to leave her. I think it's going to be part of her. I think that witch is lied to the mum. But another thing I was going to say, going off of what you guys said last week, off of Letitia and Tick's relationship, when now seeing Jiha and Tick's relationship, I see what you guys mean about Letitia. With Jiha, you can actually feel it. Like, they were able to actually know each other off of, and they were both able to see each other at the worst. Well, he never got to see the tentacle bit, but I'm saying he got to see her at some worst. But I feel it more. So if she's going to come back, I don't know what's going to happen with Letitia and Tick. But yeah, that's my take on it anyway.
I can see that actually. I can see what you're saying. But again, this show, every week, and they never give spoilers like some shows, like give you a glimpse of what the next week is. You just never know what's coming, which is what I appreciate, which is what keeps you watching it. I hate shows where you can like, oh, okay, next week, we know it's going to be. I don't like that. So I like that this keeps you on your toes with that. What do you think, T?
I didn't like it.
There's always one, isn't there?
And there is always one, and it's going to be me.
Everyone.
I don't know. There's something about this show. I mean, I think I've said it before. The show is like Sunset Beach for me. Like it's not a rubbish show. Whereas Sunset Beach was rubbish, but it's like Sunset Beach in the sense that Sunset Beach was rubbish, but it keeps you intrigued, and this show keeps me intrigued. It's not a bad show, and like we've spoken about this before, but I get why they're doing what they're doing, and I understand, we understand a bit more about Tick and his journey, but it was just, again, I was disconnected. I can't even talk. I was just a bit disconnected. I didn't know that she was going to be this foxtail or whatever tail it was, tree eating sexual monster, but the minute that I saw her, I said, yeah, this woman's got some sort of power. This woman's going to have, there's going to be something. I lost that sort of, that spark or excitement to the show, because I knew that something's going to happen. The show is never this plain level, and it doesn't have to be, which is what probably makes it a good show. But yeah, I just didn't like it. I think maybe it was because it was a boring episode for me. It was literally about Jiha. It was literally about how Jiha and Tick got together. It was set in South Korea. We understood, you know, the Americans had to go and sort of free them from, you know, their dictatorships and all the rest of it. Yeah, I just find it a bit boring, if I'm honest. The one thing that did intrigue me was the mother and Jiha's relationship. The fact that the mum, in my opinion, was at fault. So if we go back to her story, she always wanted Jiha to find a man so that a man could bring honor to the family. And I guess women that are single, or women that have children that are single, were probably seen as something, weren't probably respected enough. Hence why she ended up marrying the man And then the man took her daughter on to be his own. But rather than loving her as a daughter, he was sleeping with her. And I guess the mum, from my take, was probably jealous, because Gia did say to the mum at one point, oh, but he loved me, whatever the dad's name was, it began with a Y. He loved me. And the mum was like, no, he didn't love you. If you call that love, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know whether the mum actually went to the woman to do something to the daughter to actually say, to stop the dad from sleeping with her, but then it came with a price. So if you want this man to stop sleeping with your daughter, yeah, but she killed the dad by having sex with him, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So the mum went to the witch doctor for whatever reason. I don't know whether she went to the witch doctor to say, can my husband stop sleeping with my daughter? Or whether she went to the witch doctor to say, because she was jealous of her daughter, and then and to do something so that they could stop having a relationship. Does it make any sense? And then it ended up being Gia ends up being this monster.
Yeah.
I found that intriguing, and I didn't understand why a mum would hate her daughter so much. And the only thing that I could deduce was the fact that because she slept with her husband.
I think she hated her daughter.
Can I say that actually happens a lot, though? Yeah, a lot of girls, not a lot, I don't know, obviously I don't know anyone, but in films that I've seen where the child's been abused, like Precious, for example, the mum hates Precious because her dad is sleeping with her over her. When really she should have been protecting her. So that does happen. So I don't know
if you guys have, I'm sure you, maybe T, I don't know about Paulina, since she always claims she's too young for it. Remember the Jenny Frances?
On Choice FM?
Yeah, Choice FM. Yeah. She had two dilemmas. And there was a girl that came on about something like that. She was quite tearful, just saying her mom, she's told her mom and her mom doesn't believe her. And Jenny Frances went through the whole dilemma of her and got off air to speak to her. So yeah, it does actually happen.
It is common, because the mums can't, I don't understand this, because they're so in love with the man that they don't want to lose him. So they kind of disown.
And that's what I'm saying. I kind of feel that because the mum hated Gia so much,
yeah,
or disliked her for the fact that they were sleeping together, she probably went to this witch doctor to
the curse on her instead.
I don't know.
I think it's the other way around. Not the other way around. I think it's that the mum hated what the dad did and wants to kill all men or something like that.
No, because she wants a man. Like, remember when Gia said, do you remember the demon was speaking in the daughter's body and she was going in on her? I was like, I see where Therese's coming, but it's true. She knew he was raping her, but she didn't do anything about it.
She knew the price. She knew what would happen. That's why she married. Well, he knew. What did she say? She said, knew what he would do, but you were just thinking about it. She was thinking about
what I'm saying. So the mum was thinking about the image, hence why she married the man. But then the mum ended up finding out that she was raping the daughter. But Gia, when the demon was speaking, or whether it was Gia or the demon, Gia actually said at one point to her mum, but he loved me. He loved me. And the mum was like, you call that love? And I could be wrong. That could be her misconstruing, you know, sexual relationship for love.
No, it was his memory she was talking from.
Right. So she said to her mum that she loved me. And the mum was like, that's not love. You think that's love? He was a monster. Now you're the monster, whatever. And it could well be that he actually did love her. He actually probably did fall in love with her eventually. And that's what the mum didn't like. And then therefore the mum's gone to this witch doctor and said, oh, you know, put a spell on my daughter. I want them to stop sleeping with each other, and then this is the price to pay. Who knows? But that's my take on it. And that was the only part, if I'm honest, of the show that I kind of really was gripped by, just the mother daughter relationship.
It was an interesting dynamic, to be fair. Like it was a bit like, because when she killed the first man and the mum just opened the door and she's like 10 more, I was like, sorry.
I kind of foresaw that after she killed him, I was just like, yeah, the mom. No, but,
once she said,
I'm going to see my mom. I have an appointment with my mom. My mom's expecting me to bring a man home. I was like, yeah, the mom.
That's what I'm saying. So once we knew what was happening, for me, it was a bit left field. But then obviously the show is left field. So
when I think I'm a bit in a different. Maybe it's because it's my kind of thing. I think it has to be your kind of thing. to really appreciate it. Not you personally, I'm saying generally.
That's what I'm saying. For me, this is my kind of thing. So I'm interested in it, but it's so left field. And I haven't read the books. I don't know anything about it other than watching the series. So I am enjoying it, but it's so random that it's almost hard to understand what's going on to an extent. Because every episode has been so mismatched. But then when I've read like reviews and stuff, this is the director's, this is what he does. So
I mean,
it's weird. It's because I get it. Maybe it's just me. I just get it from my point of view. I just get it that it all flows for me.
No, but it does flow.
I see what you mean by it's, yeah.
It does flow because every episode there is the connecting story. There is something in every episode that connects the dots into the bigger picture of the story. But for me, I guess, like you said, Sharifa, to a degree, if you're not used to watching shows like that, then it's just a bit like, in a weird way, I feel like somebody that hadn't watched episode one, if they had come in at episode six, it would have just been like, oh, like it's a new show, so like they can watch it and continue on, and they wouldn't necessarily miss too much of a story because they haven't watched the first five episodes. Obviously they would know other backstories, but if they come in at episode six, that's a brand new show for me. Episode six and even every all the episodes episode. Yeah, it's just like a brand new show. Obviously, because we've watched it from episode one and we know the backstory, we know what is happening, and we know Tick's story, we understand why they flow. And other seasons and other shows that we watch, not other seasons, but other shows that you watch, they don't flow like that. They actually flow in sequence. They actually follow on. And this is not a follow on show. Yeah, and I guess it's not a follow on show, but it's also a show that's just weird. Like, you're sleeping and then you've got foxtails coming out of your eyes and ears and everything. It's like, all right.
It's just so...
Why go on with that? But... Yeah. It is a
sex demon. That's what sex demons do.
Really? How do you know, girl? You want to tell me something? This is what
I said. Fantasy world. If it's not your thing, you won't. Certain things won't click with you. You just see it as, oh, this is silly.
So sex demons have
sometimes tentacles. Yeah, they have tentacles. They will absorb a soul. They would absorb, as in this one, they would absorb a memory. Some of them need to have sex to thrive, to actually live on. It's just like a parasite. They need it. It's just like, what's it called? What was that one that we called Species? I don't know if you guys ever watched Species.
No.
That movie. No. It's
Oh, yes. The movie Species.
It's so weird. But yeah, they needed to have sex to replicate. So that's a sex. That's what I mean by it didn't surprise me. And it didn't feel like mismatch. And when I heard the story behind it, what's it called? The Kumoni spirit or whatever. It makes sense to me. It doesn't seem out of the blue with everything that's going on. And I find that magic in different countries or different parts of the world can sometimes be a bit different. Like in this, I could see why it's a spirit thing. Not even the sexual, is a spirit thing. They had to summon it into her. And that could be part of in their culture, in the sense that they have the year of the, was it, it's your spirit animal. You know, everyone has their own spirit animals. So I could see why they went that way with that side of the world. Whereas when you come back to America, it's a different type of thing. So I don't know. I liked it.
Can I ask, what do you think the whole speed dating scene was about? Do you think they all have those demons in them?
No, the speed dating thing is like, it actually does happen like that. Where
that's how they call
that time. That's, yeah, it's a matchmaking. And okay. Another thing, you know, the guy she actually matched with, I had a little sense that he's possibly gay. A little bit, because there was something he said. I forgot. I was watching a review.
Because they both like it. Judy. They both like Judy.
No, there was something he said that gives you the idea of that. And even when the woman, the other one was meeting him, she said something. Not just that he's dull as dishwater. There was something said among that time that gave the sense that he's just there to just do what he needs to do, just match someone and just have a wife. And it's not really into it.
Because they had so much in common.
Yeah, but I think he liked that they had so much in common that he knew she was too nice. If that made sense.
Basically, Sharifa's got her gaydar on. And
I'm just making a little guess. But and yeah, then, that scene was painful to watch, to be honest. It was just like, who are you? Like, she's a very beautiful woman. Who are you to be crossing her out?
Isn't
like,
she?
How
like,
dare you?
She's stunning. Jamie Chung. She's Jamie Chung.
I was like, I was getting so annoyed. I was like, how could you leave it up to the men to decide who they want to match with? The matchmaking I know is you both match. You both cross.
Yeah, but it's a different like, time, right?
Not back in those days.
It's a different time now.
Given. Sure. Can you imagine?
Oh.
Wow.
Anyway, it was an interesting episode. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess we can't predict next episode, but what do you think?
We can. It's going to be about Hippolyta.
Hippolyta.
She's going to finally see how to use the...
There's been still traveling.
Time travel. She's going to see how to use the time travel. She's going to travel back in different times, and I think it's going to mess her up a little bit.
Is this the auntie?
Sorry?
Is the auntie that went traveling?
Yeah. No, but I think she's going to be back, and she's going to discover how to... work it, and she's going to travel back in different times, and I think it's going to mess her up a little bit, and we
I think she's
going to
come
that.
Back messed up.
Yeah, I think she's going to come back because it's different times. She's going to live so many different lives that she's going to come back and it's just not going to sit well, and you can see it. She's going to be a gladiator, she's going to be a warrior, there's so many different lives she's going to live that it will mess you up as a person. You come back and
how do you get that?
Sorry?
Different lives. You think that she's going to have traveled through time?
Yeah, she's going to travel through lots of time.
You predicting or you kind of
previewing, honey?
Previewing. Okay.
But that preview has been in many. It's been even in the season one. You know when they first showed what the show is going to be about. We saw her dressed in different scenarios. So before I saw the preview, I kind of guessed that she is going to find out how to work out the time machine. Do you remember? You remember the trailer of Lovecraft? They showed Hippolyta in different gladiator outfits.
You paid bloody good attention. I didn't pay that much attention.
But I said that in our last few episodes when I said that is a time machine, and I'm sure she's going to figure it out.
Yeah, because you said that she's got the thing, whatever it is.
But I knew she'll figure it out, and she's going to come back a bit messed up because it's not the greatest. As we've seen a lot of people that traveled through time too many times, it does mess you up a little bit. But I wonder what that is going to bring to the table of the actual looking for the Book of Adam or whatever they're looking for.
Well, I reckon if she's traveling through time, she's going to alter the course a little bit when she's not meant to.
That's always the way though, isn't it?
Possibly. Wow. I think she bumps into other people. Like if she bumps into George again,
that's what I'm saying. She's going to alter the course, right? Yeah.
But if she doesn't go into those times, I don't think she'll do that much of a difference. That much. But I love the acting. I think I'm interested in seeing how she does.
I guess all remains to be seen next week. We watch episode 7.
Yeah.
So should we move on to our next show, which is Ghost Powers sequel, I guess. I can't lie.
Is it Power Ghost 2?
Power Book 2.
It's a too longer title. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should have just named it one thing. Power 2. Done.
But yeah, for me, I'm kind of getting a bit like it's just more of the same for me personally. I don't know, guys. I'm gonna pass it over. Who wants to take over the mic? Because I'm tired.
I'll go first. I actually, you know what?
I liked it.
I like it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. I'm putting my money out there that it's actually better than Power.
No,
a little bit.
Thank you.
I think it's because Power was dragged. We've watched the whole of Power. Power was dragged.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know what you mean.
3 seasons in, Tariq and his dry acting. Sorry, Michael. I do love you, but. He's getting better with his acting, although his face is getting a little bit better. And I'm not sure whether it's just because he's got more FaceTime, but I'm warming to him. I like it. I like the premise of the show. How are they going to get Tasha off going to prison? but that's... They will somehow. We don't know. But this is, I guess the whole show is, let's see how they're going to maneuver. What can they do? What can the St. Patrick family do now that the hierarchy is dead to survive? And will Tasha remain in jail or not? I like it. I like I just like the premise. I really do feel for Tariq. I feel, you know, heavily for him. And I said this last week, that it's a lot on his shoulders. He's got to study. He's got to get money for his mum. You know, not only has he got to study to stay in school, he's also got to study and do his roommate studying. And it's all of that. Yeah. And then, you know, he's trying to now navigate love life. Again, why do shows always, is this like fun to do love triangles? Lovecraft Country, there's going to be love triangle. It.
People yeah. love to see the drama. It's just, of, it's just dry. Who's he going to choose?
Together, it's happy, isn't it?
And I think one of those girls, this is power, one of those girls is going to die through some sort of accident. There's going to be some sort of beef and one of them's going to die. I personally think.
I think one might get hurt.
You think one might get hurt? I don't know.
Hurt. Just not die, just in the hospital. You know when Tariq walks in and is like, I didn't mean to, I don't need any visitors, and then they turn to the side.
I think if you're saying that, it's going to be
the good girl.
Vijay Blige.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be Vijay Blige's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
She told her to stay away from Tariq. But they're still going to be seeing each other. So she's going to get hurt. But now Tariq and Mary J. Blige are working together. What's her name? I keep calling her. But anyway, now they're working
Monet, that's it.
I don't know why I want to say Rachel, but I thought it was something like that. Now that they're working together, if their daughter gets hurt, then it's going to cause conflict. I think it's going to be more that she's going to get hurt. Because they said if anything happens, Tariq's dead or whatever. So
I think I'm with T. I actually really like the show.
I don't know. Like
I actually enjoy.
It's just getting a bit tedious. It's the same storyline as Ghost.
Yeah, but that's how Ghost come up, isn't it? This is how Ghost.
It's following on, so I don't know why it would be any different. It's following on, but yeah, I do like it. And Tariq, I think as you said, he is growing on me now. And I could see people probably liking him a bit much more better than in Power. I was going to say something. It's just escaped me. But yeah, I think it'd go far. In terms of the lecturer, you know, one of his lecturers.
He's weird.
He's so weird. I feel like he's a sexaholic. And
they both are.
Yeah, that's why one's in... She's in therapy, isn't it? And he's just, yeah. It's just, they've got a weird dynamic. And I'm like, that's your student. You're banging on the wall.
That also happens, though.
Yeah. That especially if you're a good-looking lecturer, it does happen.
He is buff. I'd be going to uni every day.
You sleep with your lecturers, girls, if you were...
And that's for another episode.
No, it's not. It's just a simple question.
That's like, for fully geeked.
After hours.
After dark.
Considering the time that we're filming and we're recording, it is after hours. Answer the bloody question. I would.
If I need extra lessons,
I won't need extra lessons. I got the brains. But
the way the American system is set up, lecturers are living on campus as well sometimes, and students are out too late. The mixture is too much.
So Sharifa would also sleep with her. I'm sweating now.
I'm sweating.
If she was an American, Paulina.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I've got too much. I would somehow tell someone, and I've got my conscience is too loud. You know when you like,
you probably stand up and listen. Last time was great.
I'd probably come and nobody asked me questions. That's how
I'm like, if you want this ass, you gotta give me an A. Okay.
Can you imagine he still failed you, even though you're seeing each other?
And then that, I'm using rude. That as leverage. See, this I'm a twisted. I'm that psycho American student. I'd be like, you hurt me. The girl that cried wolf, and now I wouldn't do it. Yeah, but
as you were saying, T, with the Tariq thing, are you feeling for him? I don't feel that much for him because, again, as our parents say, those that don't listen will what?
You'll feel. I hear
and his dad
you.
Told him he didn't listen. His dad told him, I don't want this life for you. I'm trying to make sure you don't end up the way I did. And he's literally following in his dad's footsteps, except that his one is in college. Like, he wants the life, but does he really want the life? Like, and I feel it's going to get to a point where it's just going to be like, this is not life. I actually just want to enjoy selling my little drugs on the side and then just, you know, wine and dine the few girls that I have. That's what he wants. He feels like he wants the streets, but I feel like the streets don't want him. He feels he's so smart. Well, sometimes he can be. But it's just too much.
Unrealistic, because it's like, how is this small boy maneuvering with these grown people?
Oh, you have them there.
But think about it. This was a real cartel. There's no way Tariq would be moving the way he's moving. He would have been killed already. That's why.
But how is he moving though? He's not moving that mad in this season. He's not moving mad.
But it's like the way he's like able to twang all the adults and like go here, they go there, or you need to work with me, and they're just like, yeah, okay, we'll work together. That's what knows with it by the realisticness of it.
If you think about it,
Tommy and what's his name? Oh,
my Ghost.
God. Yeah, when it was Ghost, Tommy, and them, yes, it makes more sense. But
yeah, Tommy, but you didn't. But remember, Paulina, you didn't see how Ghost and Tommy came up. They were kids as well.
And then the thing is, you need to remember, in Power, when he was moving like this, he had his dad to always kill whoever or track him down. Whereas in this, he's moving with people of a little bit of high esteem. He can still manipulate them. It's not like he's going into the streets and talking to the people. Like Mary's still kind of up there. Do you get what I mean? He's not targeting the what's his name? What was Rotimi's
Dre.
Dre, he's not targeting those people anymore because he can't. He doesn't have the backup to help him anymore. He doesn't have the crew. Literally, it's him and his fake rich Tommy over there. So,
oh, what's going on with Tommy? Tommy needs to come back. I feel like
he's gonna come back at the end. I know, he's so cute.
He's such a sexy, not Joseph. Chocolate guy.
Yeah, he's just so cute. There's something about him and the way he
dresses. Sephora, I
think, and the way he says "motherfucker," you're like, oh, you're so cute.
Okay.
Oh gosh. But yeah, we miss seeing him on the screen. But he's got his own one coming out anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, he's got his own one. Why are they playing it out? Because like, I can't really see him in this though. I can see him coming in, but I can't see him being a character in this. He's too much of a big character to just be let me just pass by.
I think Tasha's gonna get off. They're gonna find him. They're gonna arrest him for all the crimes, and then that's when Power Book 2 ends, and then his story comes about, and then they're gonna show how he came about and how he ended where he's ended.
Can I put a spanner in the works, and I might eat my words in the next few, I don't know how many years, but I feel like Ghost is not dead.
Oh, girl.
I don't know why I just keep having this feeling. Like, and I remember telling someone, I was like,
died because Tommy was like, bad. Like,
but I still have this feeling that he's not.
The same with Angela. Everyone thought, oh, Angela's coming back.
Oh, no, Angela.
We knew Angela was dead.
Angela was gone.
People kept theorizing that she's not actually dead.
No, but who cares? Like, who cares about Angela fake her death? I just feel like, I just feel like St. Patrick is. I feel like there was so much heat on him. That I think he was shot, he was hurt, but I don't feel like he died. I feel like Congress or whatever people he was working for have helped cover up. I know this is why I said it's far-fetched, but for some reason I just keep having this feeling that he's
they found him, they've taken away, they say, we've got too much heat on you now, you cannot be part of the party and run politics, so let's just say you're dead so you can go and recuperate,
something like that. I don't
know. Maybe.
Because remember, they need to save face. That's why they keep being on this galore, and they just want to put it all on. Because remember, they nominated him. He was representing them. So if it comes down that his reputation, that he was actually a drug dealer, that looks bad on them. They can never recover from something like that. Who's going to trust a political party at all when they put someone that was a drug lord, kingpin,
as their front man? Donald Trump's the president of the United States.
That's a different story.
Interesting theory. Maybe. It is called Ghost.
I just see him coming up, you know, in that hoodie that he always does.
Yeah.
And then Tariq is kind of like,
what the fuck you doing, man?
Dude,
I killed you. You thought you did. You thought you were smart, huh? Huh?
And you never know. The dad, as in... James could be like Kane and be like, motherfucker, you killed me. You try to kill me. And then pop two bullets in his legs. Like,
yeah, but we know that, like, oh, well, I didn't really, when Kane died,
I wasn't actually convinced he was dead, but he was actually dead.
Oh, so no, maybe... they shot him too many times.
Too many times.
No, I know, but I thought, okay, he might be coming back.
You know what was...
50 on the screen.
What annoyed me was when he should have died in the fire.
Oh, yeah.
He should have died in the fire. He survived the fire.
He got like a slight burn.
And they did that thing, you know, like with the hand at the end, when the hand is moving slowly. If you could really... This guy should have died.
Ghost just looked like a constipated goat when he found out. I was like, Ghost... Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Let's see. This is a rich.
I thought Mary's acting was not bad this week either.
Listen,
she has a monotone voice, monotone.
We've all had that parent thing where you've done something to upset your mom, and then hours later they come storming through the room or coming downstairs to say whatever. I did not believe her when she did that, because I believe the act. I believe the act of her coming back down saying, "Give me your phone." It was just the way she came in. Wait, phone, man. I know you have. I was like, that's acting. Like, be more. I don't know. More animated. Like more. I don't know.
He hasn't quite, because you know when like they say you start on like you start loud, so you've got nowhere to go. She started on this level so that she can't elevate it anymore because she's just.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
Like she's flatlined, but at a high level. Nowhere she had to go from where she's at because that's just it.
Her facial expressions, everything.
Anything.
All her kids, as T said, all her kids are monotone, except for Woody. Woody is not monotone. Woody is just Woody.
Kane. Yeah. Oh, he's another Kane, isn't
Kane.
He?
Yeah, Kane. He's just...
Another thing. Her husband, Lorenzo, is he Puerto Rican? Is he Latino?
Yeah, he's Latino, but isn't he Black Latino?
Yeah, but he's mixed. Is he Black Latino? He looks very...
He looks
white Latina.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't look Black Latina.
When they come up close, I'm like, yeah, not black, but I mean like as in mixed. You know, they have lighter skin.
Yeah. He doesn't even look mixed to me. And the reason why I brought him up is because like...
The kids.
Like, I get it.
I had that discussion. Sorry, T. I had that discussion when I was watching it. And then when they showed all the kids in the kitchen, I could actually see Dre being their kid. And I could actually see the girl as well. Only because I have a friend like that.
But you can't see Kane.
But you do get it. I have a friend like that, that literally, she's as dark as me. But her mom and her dad are both mixed. But she's quite dark. You would think she has dark.
Yeah, that's fair. That's probably throwback. And then, like in...
That's what I'm saying. So it could actually happen. So I could see it happening.
But one of them kids would have been a bit fair. I mean, Dre is. Dre's not that fair. Come on.
Yeah,
unless the dad is Black Latina and he's very fair, then that can happen. I mean, I know it's all fiction, so they just picked the best actors for the roles. Mm. So it's not a big deal. But I just keep looking at them as a family and thinking, dad is so white. You guys don't look mixed race, or you don't look like family that has like any mixed, light colored.
I don't think isn't he the oldest? He's probably not his son.
Who?
That's what I was thinking as well. But we're just looking at that from a colorism point of view. But I think Dre is his son. I just think it's just who they cast to play the roles. I don't think that we should take it so seriously in terms of the colorism, but every time I see them and every time they say Papi and whatever, I'm just like, weird.
But they are the thing weird. You need to remember that sometimes on TV they can come across a little bit darker. I'm looking at Latoya, she's called Latoya Tonodeo. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. But yeah, she's actually quite a little bit more lighter than we see on TV.
But even still, compared to her parents, I'm just looking at it visually, who her screen parents are and compared to the kids, there's a slight disconnect.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's just acting. It doesn't have to be real.
Guys, I don't know. My brain is really frazzled. So please just help me out with the names. You know, the lawyer that they brought in, that Tasha fired.
Mm-hmm.
What's her, why have, like, have you noticed how much they've changed her appearance from?
Yeah, she's looking a bit younger, Tamika.
Yeah, why they? That's it, Tamika. Why have they done that? Do you think? Because it's like, huh? She looks completely different.
Remember Tamika in previous seasons. If I have got this right, she was trying to get rid of Ghost. If this is the same black woman, remember they put. Yeah. They put a black woman for district attorney, and then they got Angela was going so far fetched, and she was just doing all this stuff, and then they fired Tamika, and then mm-hmm. Tamika then went to work for another law firm and mm. got her money and got her act together. And
is that why she's grown up?
Yeah,
right. Okay,
but in my opinion, she was always.
But that wig that she was wearing in the first few seasons was a bit too auntie. So the how she looks now is nice.
But you're making me laugh. You guys pay way too much attention to some little details sometimes.
He's Puerto Rico.
Scripper's over here.
Sorry, I'm just trying to catch up on this. I am here, but I'm just trying to catch up on this papi to find out where he was from.
I don't know. I feel like I thought it was interesting to see what's coming next, but for me, okay, the bit that's annoying me, I guess, is that they're putting a lot of pressure on Tariq in terms of having to do this boy's work and help his mom and try and finish his degree and I feel like it's a lot on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, that's the price you pay for killing your dad, who was providing for
and
you
doing all the day then, work for you
and all the day he worked for you and you didn't listen, right? And I guess he probably thinks that he can do his dad's job but do it better. But something's got to give. It's too much. He's gonna fail at something.
He feels like he's so smart. And he always said, "I'll never be like you," and he just wants to prove so badly that him killing his dad was justifiable. But he doesn't realize by the end of it that it actually wasn't. You just did it because you're a spoiled little brat that couldn't get your way, and you got upset. And you were working on emotion because of what he did to your mom. So it was all of that. He was not thinking straight. And he's trying to justify it by trying to weasel out every opportunity he can get and say, yeah, I did it better than he would have. I did it better. I told him I could do it. I could be.
But he's just going to end up being smart. Just like his dad, isn't he?
That's the thing. He's trying to be book smart so he can succeed as being a book smart guy that the dad wanted, but at the same time run the streets. That's what he's trying to prove. But to be honest, would he still be doing this if his mom was in jail? Yes, he would probably still be trying to sell drugs just because he can.
Doing it when she wasn't in jail.
He didn't need the money. He just wanted it. He just wanted to be it.
I don't think it was a money thing. I think he liked what the show says. He liked the power.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to do something to have power, and his dad wasn't going to let him do it. And then obviously the family went spiraled because he was a mummy's boy and saw how the dad treated the mum, especially with the Andrew situation. And as he's growing up, he's resenting his dad for all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm actually enjoying Power Book 2, Ghost.
I mean, it's just I need something more and then I think I'll be into it. But
All you need is Method Man.
You're on it tonight, aren't you?
Like
Tonic.
Well, shall we move on swiftly to our last watch of the week, which was Criminal on Netflix season 2. Basically, the premise of the show is they're all featured in one office or interrogation room. It's basically British Police Procedural Anthology series created by George Kane that features different actors that we all know, such as David Tennant, Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, Jon Snow, Sophie Aconido, Claire Hope Ashley, and a few people that you'll know when you see them. Sorry, so I really actually enjoyed it because I like that they're telling a story based off of what they're saying, and it's not like flashbacks of scenes and that and the other. You're just building up the story and the imagery based off of the interrogation. So for me, my favorite one, I think, out of the four was episode 2 of Kit Harington. I don't know if it's because he was Jon Snow that I just relate to it. a bit more, but I just like the way he acted it and like the plot of the story about how it ended up being something that this woman has done before and whatnot. But I would recommend watching it. I don't want to give it too much away because it's kind of self-explanatory when you watch it. But what did you guys think?
I liked it. I think my favorite was the last one, episode 4, the Sandeep.
We're talking about season 2, yeah?
Season 2, yeah. But yeah, again, as Paulina said, I liked the premise of the show. It was covering matters, situations that do happen in real life, whereas sometimes you may think you are not guilty of a crime, but then it turns out you actually are guilty of that crime. And it also covers things like people taking power into their own hand, like vigilantes, which we saw in episode 3.
That was deep.
And I was just like, this is what slander looks like. This is what, when you feel like you're doing the right thing, looks like. So a bit of backstory with that episode 3, where a lady, I forgot who the actor is, but the lady was taken in, and she didn't really know why she was being questioned, and she thought she was being questioned. Sorry?
She knew why she was being questioned?
No, she thought she was in there to give her account of being part of this group that hunt down pedophiles. So by the end of it, she realized that she wasn't actually being questioned. She was going to be arrested for something else. That was to do with that. She didn't realize what she had done along the way was a crime, which was she slandered the wrong person.
Yeah, because basically she was setting up everything, which is the crime, because it wasn't that he wasn't actively looking for it. She set it up so that he would be looking for
what
it.
What was the crime? The backstory
was that she has decided to set up a group to kind of set a trap for pedophiles. So she goes online, pretends she's a 14-year-old girl, lures them in, and then gets all their details and then sends it to the police station. So after talking to this guy for a while, pretend to be a 14-year-old girl, she kept trying to ask questions about the car he drove, where he lived, and all of that type of stuff. So she was giving her accounts to the police officers to say, yeah, I did this. Oh, yeah, and I did that. Oh, yeah, and I did this. Yeah, so she was kind of giving it to them, saying, yeah, and this is what we need to do as people to get pedophiles. So she was given all of that, and there were questions saying, and then what did you do? And then what did you do? And then she said he drove a brown, I think it was a brown Mercedes, I can't remember the car. And then she got the address. So when she got all the details, she puts it in a file and sends it out to his mother-in-law, sends it out to the police station, and sends it out to his work. And then, so she was saying, yeah, I did it. That's what I did. But what she didn't realize was that the person she was talking to, right, was actually someone that worked. So the person she was talking to was a pedophile. Mm-hmm. But the information he gave her was of the person he shares an office with.
So the computer he was using,
and the computer he was using was his work colleague's computer. So she sent out the wrong thing to the mother-in-law, who ended up having a heart attack out of the shock. And when she had that heart attack, the granddaughter had to call the police. The granddaughter, now people around the neighborhood now heard about it and beat up the granddaughter, beat her up quite badly that she was hospitalized. And then he had lost his job, and he had been working in that job, I think, for over 20 years or something like that. And he was called into the office and just discarded like that because of them receiving that file. So that's a crime, because if someone has a reaction to something you do, to your slander, or suffers, that's the thing. If someone suffers from an untrue slander, so if you call someone a pedophile and they're not, and they suffer from you calling them that, that's actually a crime really got me, because I was just like, I understood where she was coming from, but at the same time, she had no right to do that, and she didn't need to. She could have just passed the information to the police and let the police do their investigations, because when they did it, they found out it wasn't him. But she ruined a whole man's life thinking it was him.
Everything you're saying is true, but they were also saying that she also set it up to the point where he had no room. Like, so she'd ask him something and then he would respond in a roundabout way. He wasn't leading the questions like, oh, send me pictures of herself or do this and do that. She was setting it up so that she'd be like, oh, what are you doing today? Then he'd respond.
Entrapment. Yeah, but that wasn't the crime, though. She wasn't taken down for entrapment.
But in that's what led to the whole crime, because she set it up and then it turned out that it wasn't even him in the first place.
Yeah, that's but the person that did it was a paedophile anyway. But that's she's still, that person that did it was a paedophile anyway. So what they're trying to say is her group, the group that she set up, are vigilantes, because out of all the people she has worked, she had gotten a lot of paedophiles arrested, which was good. But at the same time, there were some innocent people among there because she's not doing her investigation like the police. So that's the crime. I get what you're saying about the leading the person on, which she did. And they did point it out to her and they said it was wrong. But what they're trying to say is her, the crime was her pretending, doing a police officer's job, basically. Because there are groups like that in the UK and in, around the world. There are police forces specialized, like special victims unit, that actually do this job, that pretend to be 14-year-olds. So it's not, it is an entrapment, and people do get entrapped, but you only get entrapped if you are.
The fact that she is a civilian who was doing a police officer's job, which resulted in another crime, makes her
a vigilante.
Makes her a vigilante, but makes her the perpetrator of the crime to a degree, because had she not done what she had done,
basically,
then the other
Okay. That's that's just what I like about it. It's a talking point. And even the John, I keep saying John Snow, he's not John Snow. But his one was another talking point, because he has been arrested. Well, not arrested. He was Yeah, he was brought into question about a rape. And it's a very sensitive topic, because there are people that cry wolf and there are people that really got raped. Now, even though it ended with him not being found, well, not even being found, him not being
guilty
of anything, how do we know in that situation she actually wasn't raped? Just because in her past something like that had happened. I know the text messages that she her friend sent kind of swayed her away, that he actually did not do anything.
But I don't think he,
like that, I don't think he did anything.
I don't think he raped her, considering how he, I think, by the way, listeners, I tried my absolute best to watch the show, and I kept on falling asleep, not because it wasn't entertaining, but because it's set in one room, so there's no other scene apart from you being in the interrogation room, or being on the other end of the interrogation room, or being in the corridor of the interrogation room. And so the show's only, what, 45 minutes long each episode? Yeah. And like the girls have said, they touch on specific topics where people are accused of committing crime. Some of them have committed the crime, some of them haven't committed the crime. This particular episode that we're talking about, with Kit Harrington, is that, have I said his name right, Paulina? Kit Harrington. Yes. He was accused of raping some girl. And it turns out that she potentially manipulate situations, so it appears that she's raped, and it turns out he's not. But I don't think he raped her, purely for the fact of how he reacted towards the end. And I think this is the only episode that I actually was intrigued by, and I guess it's A, could be the acting, or just the topic that they were discussing, purely because his lawyer started crying when she had a conversation with him. And I don't know whether it was because she partly felt like, oh my gosh, you actually have raped this chick. Or she, she's actually been raped, and there's no way of proving that she had been raped. And so she understands exactly where this sort of case was going. Or B, she felt like, I'm actually representing somebody that potentially is a rapist, and no one's going to know how I feel about it, and I have to do my job. What I liked about this is, again, that we spoke about, is that whole premise of the boy who cried wolf, if that's the right terminology to use, whereby this girl has cried to say rape to get some money so that she can go on holiday with her friend. And when they did their investigations and they found out that actually this isn't the situation, he's traumatized, and we don't, as normal viewers, we don't see the other end of the story and what they and I like the fact that they literally said, or they literally illustrated, or can I say illustrated, depicted, I don't know, they actually told the story of, you know, the other side of this is when you start accusing people of raping you, there will come a point where they get traumatized because their whole lives are now affected. Do you know what I mean? He's now have to go back to work. People are going to be like, oh, you were arrested for rape, but what happened? He can sit there and shout from the rooftop, I'm innocent, I wasn't accused or anything, but people are still going to be like, yeah, well, they couldn't prove it. Or, you know, the men in rape situations are always the ones that are literally going to be looked upon differently, regardless of whether they have been accused of it or not, you know. And that's the sad part of the story. And you could see at the end, and his acting was brilliant, where he was literally like, oh my gosh, you know, put the furniture back. I love that analogy. I really did love that analogy. Put the furniture back. It's a great show for storytelling. And I like the fact that they told so many stories without doing much. However, that was what put me to sleep. I can't watch. It was almost like, have you ever been to the theatre where the backdrop is consistently the same? They're literally doing this, the acting, but the backdrop never changes. I always fall asleep when I go to the theatre and I watch shows like that. And this show made me fall asleep. But yeah, it's good. It's a good watch if you are into that kind of thing and into just understanding how crimes are solved or how people can actually implicate themselves, like the Sophie Okoro story, where her name's not Okoro, Okonet, what's her surname?
I can't say it properly, and I'm Nigerian, shame on me.
Where she literally ratted out herself. She would have got away with it had she not been talking too much.
I got it from that point. As soon as she said, I was like, yeah.
Me too.
I kind of got it from even when she was in, because she was a bit shaky. Like, I just, yeah. She gave herself away too much.
I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know if they should, there's two seasons. I can't imagine what they would do with season three.
There's a lot you can do. The thing is, I'm with T, where you remember Paulina when you messaged us about it, I was just like, I really do not like shows that are set in one place. I just don't. It's just, I need to see more. I need to see more scene. I need to see other people. And it's the same thing. I don't really like movies where it's just literally between one to three actors. I find that very hard to watch. So even American Boy with Kerry Washington in it?
That was good though.
It was good. No, I'm saying it was good, but I was dreading watching it because I just do not like not seeing more than, I need to see diversity in a movie. It keeps me engaged. So initially I was just like, yeah, I don't think I could watch this. But watching it, I think the storytelling part made me think, I like watching how they solved it, if that makes sense, but just what people were saying, how to actually catch up people from what they're saying. So there's this psychological part in it as well, because you're literally going by what people's words, obviously they went by investigations as well, but you still have to be able to read people properly. But yeah, I liked it. I don't know if I would watch it over and over again, as in like watch more and more of it. I'll just be like,
mate, I'm two seasons down, that's it, I'm checking out, mate. So yeah, check out Criminal on Netflix. It was I think it's trending at number three now, so it's actually not a bad show. All right, guys, so next we're gonna be going into what's been happening.
So guys, yes, what's been happening this week? So after months of protests for Breonna Taylor, they have finally announced that they've arrested the man who gave the information about going to her house, I'm assuming, but not actually about who's actually shot her. So we're not anywhere near getting her justice, but I guess they're looking into it further. But Teresa, I think you had more information if you wanted to touch on it more.
So this evening they arrested a cop that shot, well, he was involved in the shooting of Breonna Taylor. but they haven't arrested him for her murder. They've arrested him for the fact that he was involved in a riot that caused a raid, not a riot, a raid that caused a death. And that's just ridiculous. You know, people have been literally campaigning for the arrest, the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. And you have now just said a grand jury has indicted a former police officer for endangerment for his actions during the raid. That's not murder.
What does that even mean?
So basically...
Oh, I know, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn,
like that's not enough. And I guess they're doing that because they know this isn't, it's not going away. You've got major people on major platforms literally saying arrest the cops.
Already, everyone is literally putting their heads together for this.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, there's billboards around what so the town in America that she picked, just of Breonna Taylor and the story and nothing. Everybody's
my issue is that her story is clear cut. Anyone that hears it just believes, right, cops should have been arrested, they should have been charged, there's nothing more to it. What is it? Like, they, for me, if they don't arrest them and they just think, oh, this is going to go quietly, they need to give reasons why they're not arresting. Why are these police officers allowed to live their lives with their children? Why, like, do you get me? What is the reason? Why are we not arresting them? What is the reason?
I don't
get it. They weren't doing their jobs.
I don't know the full story, but I think what they're trying to say is that she was collateral damage. So when they raided, apparently, and this is all hearsay from the news, but apparently when they raided the place, she was sleeping, but her boyfriend
shot,
and so they shot back, and then bullets ricocheted.
But they were in the wrong house.
Exactly. All of that is, it makes no sense. But that's what they're going to go on. That's what they're going to say. That's the excuse they're going
to
use.
He has a right to bear arms, firstly. Secondly,
he's black.
People are raiding into your house. They have no probable cause. They haven't announced themselves. They're coming in. Of course you're going to think that's an intruder. In America, the American law is different from here. Mm-hmm. If there's an intruder and you're coming into your house, you have a right to bear arms, you're allowed to shoot. So him shooting, he was in his right to shoot. Are you telling me these people are coming into your house? Because if the roles were reversed, if it was a white man and there's a black cop coming in,
they're
telling me they won't shoot. And please, I'm just over it. If that was a white blonde 5'4" woman lying in her bed with her little kiddies, would this be going on this long? This won't be going on this long.
The thing is, police officers
would have been arrested, black, white, or indigo.
If they don't do something other than like, even arresting the cop is not enough. It needs to go to... I don't even think it needs to go to trial, which they will make it go to trial. They need to be imprisoned for her murder. She was murdered. And it's not going to happen. And I think they are getting a lot of pressure because you got the tennis star Naomi Osaka wearing her face mask with every single black person that has been murdered by an American police cop when on a national platform like the US Open. You have got people like Lewis Hamilton wearing t-shirts. You know, you've got people that have of influence all over the world literally stating
begging
obvious. And so this is the pressure that they face and this is the, they think that this little thing that they've done is going to appease the people. But no, we don't want you to arrest a cop for nonsense. He's been arrested for their crime.
He's been actually arrested for 3 felony counts of endangerment for the bullets that went into other apartments. That's what he's actually been arrested for.
Her partner?
No. So the police officer, Brett Hackinson, is being charged with 3 felony counts of wanton endangerment for the bullets that went into other apartments.
Yeah, that's not
charging Breonna's death at all, given a 15,000 cash bond. Other apartments, you know.
So what about Breonna Taylor? Nothing. It's just dumb. The America is literally
trash.
People are saying, let's try Malcolm X's way. I just don't know. I'm speechless when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm speechless when it comes to this, that we're still hashtagging people's names. And there's even, apart from Breonna Taylor, there's so many hashtags that have gone past that have still not even gotten justice. And I'm sad to say that there probably will be some more before anything is done. And it's sad because there are people sitting at home now with their sons, with their daughters, hoping that it won't be them tomorrow, that the kids will come home to them wherever they're going. And it could be simply as, it's not even just going to shops or going anywhere. You could be simply in your back garden on the phone and they're mistaking that for a gun and shoot you. So it's sad, man. It's sad.
But we just pray that at some point justice.
I think change is coming. It's not going to be overnight. It's not going to be tomorrow. But if they don't do something, if they don't do something properly in regards to, especially Breonna Taylor's death, this is going to spark major riots, like major, major, major riots. And America will never be the same again. And this is a major political, what's it called? A political topic, because I guarantee you, if Trump played his cards right and got the grand jury to actually change those plea, I kind of feel like he's going to have another term. However, he could easily win the election. If he doesn't, then obviously a lot of people are waking up to see the error of their ways anyway, and he won't win the election. But, you know, it could go either way, but it's just ridiculous. America's just, the world is weird, but America as a country are just mind-boggling. I can't fathom.
It really is a depressing,
you know, you don't want to arrest the cops. Like, people in this world are just mad. You don't want to arrest.
They're going with the self-defense route.
Yeah, they would. Of course they would.
Sleep. Her boyfriend had a gun. You saw her boyfriend with a gun. How does that explain you shooting her in her bed asleep? Did you think, her thigh was a gun? I'm trying to understand.
But one thing I do like about all of this is that it just goes to show that we should not keep quiet. We should keep pressing on. We should keep doing what's right and doing it in a right way and speaking out. Because the more pressure you put on things, the more someone's likely to react. But we have to make sure that we get the right result. We don't want to just get, oh, he's been arrested. Because if you think about it, they have done what we said. We keep saying arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. They have arrested one cop, but they haven't charged him for what he needs to be charged for. So I guess we need to be a bit more specific in our actions and specific in what we say, and hopefully they'll get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah, it's very, very, very draining. But her family, and I guess we just have to keep praying for justice to be served. But not to move on, we also have our another announcement from
our dear Boris.
If you can work from home, work from home. If it's safe to do so.
We're changing the logo from go back to work to stay at home and work, or work from home.
How much of my
travel and go everywhere, and now you're coming to say, oh, sorry, only 6 people can be commuting at once. Listen, I can't do it. But yeah,
my issue is, he's saying pubs, restaurants, and all of those 10 o'clock. Are you telling me they said that COVID is higher transmission rate at night? So are you telling me COVID just waits around this year, waits around to 10:01 and starts jumping on us? I don't get it.
Apparently more people in the age bracket are out at night, hence why they want to.
There is no way.
No. What are they talking about?
But my issue is, there's no way you're telling me there's more people out at night than there are during the day.
Youngsters. Still. No, I hear you.
They're congregating like little flies. Are you telling me there's more of them during that time than there are?
They're saying that COVID is being spread amongst the 20 to 29-year-olds, right? So those are the groups of people that are roaming the streets after dark, according to the PM. So hence why, if they shut Britain off at 10 o'clock, they assume that people are not going to be gathering and roaming the streets, which is a whole load of bullcrap.
People were doing it during lockdown. They're doing it.
I don't know if you guys saw a video on, I think it was Instagram, of the police officers, two police officers knock on a door, and about 50 people come out of a flat. I was just like, people are still
going to do it. Is that in Ireland? Is that in Ireland?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And people are still going to do it because people are not going to report. You can actually have a group of people in your house with no music on, just jamming, and are your neighbors really going to knock on your door and say at 10 or 10:30, oh, I think I heard a little bit of noise.
We black, we loud, we going to get reported.
Find you a detached house in a corner and do what needs to be done. I'm over 2020. I'm over COVID. I'm over Boris not knowing what the hell he's doing. I'm just over it because it just doesn't make sense. Your rules don't make sense. People are still congregating.
Because COVID itself doesn't make sense. And I honestly believe that there is a lot more to COVID. And this is not necessarily conspiracy theory talk, but the government know a lot more about this disease than they're letting on. And if they're just honest about the disease in the first place, and, you know, it's intricate details and what they know about the disease so far, then they can help they can help the community, they can help us as the people in figuring out how we can best tackle it. But because they're not talking about the disease and they're not giving us the information that's needed, they're just flapping around, you know. It's ridiculous.
Honestly, I don't know what these next couple months are going to see, but I just pray that everyone just keep safe. I mean, keep wearing your mask, keep washing your hands, because as much as, yes, we are having a go at the regulations and the rules of Boris, COVID is actually still out there. But they just need to create more restrictions, because a lot of us are following the rules. But there are some people, as we can see in some of the videos we saw, that are not following the rules. And this is why we are in the predicament that we are in.
But you think they should add more restrictions?
Yeah, I believe there should be more restrictions all across the board, not just where you pick and choose pubs, restaurants and that. Again,
but the economy will suffer, right?
Again, the economy will suffer. That's why I said there needs to be restrictions all across the board and implemented at different times. They need to be, senior strategic manager or whatever they're called, implementation manager of some sort, that would implement a staged restriction. Because you telling me that a couple of people in a restaurant for a few hours is more dangerous than a school full of people or a supermarket full of people, or do you know what I mean? You can't tell me I'm more at risk going to a restaurant with eight of my friends, for instance. Like, why the number six? Why, like, they're giving out all these rules with no reasoning behind it. So people are not understanding it. That's why people are finding it hard to follow. That's why people are not believing these new restrictions are doing anything for us.
But you want more restrictions in order to...
No, not more restrictions. I think fair restrictions across the board. That's what I'm saying. There's restrictions in some things, but there's no restrictions in others. So how does that make sense to me? It's not making sense to me.
And I agree with you in the sense that the restrictions in one place and the restrictions in others, it doesn't make sense. But where he hasn't put the restrictions are many on places or industries whereby they're still going to help the economy. Because you can't not have like four people going to a supermarket. I don't know how that's going to be enforced, but that's not going to help the economy. He's already seen what shutting down. He's already seen what shutting down pubs and restaurants has done to the economy. He's already seen what shutting down or stopping certain people from going to work has done to the economy. So therefore, he's not going to do that again. And yes, it doesn't make sense.
I'm saying there needs to be restrictions all across the board. So if you're telling me, I'm not saying shut down supermarkets. I'm not saying we used to queue up for supermarkets. The economy didn't suffer. We still ate. We still went. So therefore, I don't understand why we can't implement that restriction again.
But we didn't get pasta. And I don't mean that in a joke way. I mean, in the sense that people weren't unable to work to provide the necessary goods for supermarkets.
No, but what I'm trying to tell you is, right, so they've said work from home, right? Mm-hmm. So some people are working from home. That's fine. You said no more than 6 people. Okay, that's fine. And then you said mask is mandatory from tomorrow. It's going to be a £200 fine. Fine. But then you still have certain things open with no restrictions. Like, you've got schools with no restrictions. You've got everyone's in. So how is that working? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. I know they're saying it's in the yard. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So I'm would not, you want schools to close?
No, I don't want schools to close. I don't think schools need to close at all. But that's what I'm saying, restrictions. I'm not saying close, because he hasn't closed down pubs and stuff. He hasn't closed down people gathering in different houses so far as you're 6 people. But there's restrictions. So why not put restrictions everywhere? So at least it's you are tackling it in all directions. You telling me that I can't meet with 6 people, right? But yeah, my child's going to school. Or if you are working in school, you're going to the school. Do you get me? It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense, because there's no restrictions there. It's acting like normal there. So how is that? I don't know if I'm making sense, but
for me, I think
restrictions need to be everywhere. It just needs to be everywhere. If the economy is not going to suffer, just do that.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that it's going to be hard to implement restrictions in certain places. That's probably why, for like schools.
Oh, we'll wait and see.
There's probably not enough teachers and things like that in order to sort of have smaller bubbles.
If you implement what some places are doing, where it's a two-week off, so you have bubbles, 2 weeks, you're 7, you're 8, you're 9, or whatever way you want to do it in secondary school. In secondary school, you have bubbles. Do you get me? 2 weeks on, this bubble comes in. 2 weeks on, this bubble comes in.
Yeah, but your education was
the way you want.
That could
work. How would
it
suffer, though? Because some people are actually not in school for whatever reason. Or
that's your business. But if you're meant to be in school, you're meant
to be in school. But then they do live streaming in some schools, though. So, again,
operative word, some schools. Like, I wouldn't want that. And then you've got to think about, I mean, it makes sense. But, you know, you've got to think about working conditions, those parents at work. I'm now going to have to take 2 weeks off or have my work be disrupted again for 2 weeks, for those 2 weeks when my child is not going to school. I mean, it's a catch-22, and I hear what you're saying. You can't restrict some things and not restrict others, because it doesn't make sense. Like you said, my son is, and our children are being exposed to all kinds of germs in a class full of what, 12, 24, depending on your class sizes. You
think about the teachers too, because at the end of the day, the younger group are okay.
Yeah.
In that sense.
It's just...
I don't know. It's a bit worrying. But anyway, we just, as I said, all we can do is just keep trying to keep ourselves safe and our family safe. Take your vitamins, wash your hands. You know, if any of your family members, or if you get any symptoms, call 119, try and get test and trace. I know there's a difficulty in getting tests at the moment, but just keep trying. You know, there are tests out there. It is hard to get, but you just keep trying and just keep yourself hydrated. Rest. Yeah. That's all you can really do. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us on episode 17. We're 3 away from 20. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you next week on episode 18.
Whoop. See you later. Bye. Bye.